elaborate on these verses. Revelation chapter 8. I'm sorry. Chapter 8. Y'all probably thought I was backing up. Thank you, Jackie, for keeping me straight. See, sometimes y'all got to keep me straight. Amen. Revelation 8, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about a space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures that which were in the sea that had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third parts of the river and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star was called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not forth as the third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for another day. And Lord, I ask your hand to be upon us, Lord. Thank you, God, for the reading of your word. Lord, I pray, God, you would help me right now as I try to teach and preach a little bit tonight. God, that you would just help me, Lord, to expound on this in a way that you would be pleased, God. Whatever's done in my life, God, I want to lift up you. Whatever's done tonight in this church, we want to lift up Jesus and help us right now to get a better understanding of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue to go through the book of Revelation, we've already witnessed the rapture of the church in chapter 4. We've watched the heavens worship God in chapter 4 and 5. We've seen the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, take the seven sealed scrolls from his Father's hand. We've watched him as the process began in chapter 6. As he did this, the earth was engulfed in horror after horror as the wrath of God started to fall on the sinful men. We studied last week in chapter 7 about 144,000 that were Jews that's going to evangelize the world, and how there's going to be a great salvation throughout all the world. Now we're going to see tonight, as we open up the four trumpets that sounded, we're going to see things go from bad to worse. And you're going to notice that over the next few weeks. Things are going to go from bad to worse. And that's how it's going to be in the tribulation period. Amen. I in my mind's eye, after the rapture of the church, and we know from studying the Bible that there's going to be a little while there that it seems like things are going to slow down and things are going to be good. The Antichrist is going to set up. It's going to seem like there's going to be peace. And when it all turns loose, it's going to turn loose real fast. Amen. Now let's look at this. Verse 1, there was a silence in heaven. The Bible says for about a half an hour, there was a silence in heaven. And I've heard all kind of jokes about this, and I didn't come to this way tonight to make any jokes about it, but there's a silence, absolute silence reigns for one half of an hour. Chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 7 all describe heaven as a place of worship and a place of praise and joy. Heaven is going to be a loud place. Amen. This is the quietest world you're going to ever live in. Amen. I'll just stop right here and preach just a little while. Some people can't say amen in church. You will there. Some people can't raise your hands in church. You will there. Some people can't sing in church. You will there. Some people can't shout in church. You will there. Amen. I mean, heaven's going to be a loud place. If you don't like it in church down here, you ain't going to like it up there. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you saved, sanctified, and on your way to heaven, when you get there, everything's going to work out fine.
Hallelujah.
But the Bible says that heaven is going to be silent. The beast and the elders are silent. The angels are silent. The redeemed that's already there is going to be silent. You know, I got to think about it as I was studying this. Silence is a powerful thing. When everything gets real quiet, right in a wedding, you know something's getting ready to happen. The bride's getting ready to come in. Amen. Silence can be nerve-wracking. I remember one time, and I was talking to somebody this week after the storm that come by yesterday. I was talking with somebody this week. I remember one time pulling up at my driveway in Conway. I got out the patrol car, still had my uniform and everything on. And I got out the car and nothing. No wind was blowing. No birds were chirping. There was no sound. I went in and told Juwan, I said, get the kids, get in the bathroom. Something's getting ready to happen. And a tornado came. So silence, you know, we all, and imagine this, if you asked your girlfriend to marry you, and she didn't say nothing. Silence can be nerve-wracking, amen, but then when you think about it, we see this all the time. We take a moment of silence a lot of times after something happens. We have a respect and a moment of silence. I've seen it done at basketball games, football games. We always take a moment of silence after the fact. Heaven is taking a moment of silence before the fact. Heaven knows what's getting ready to happen. And so the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20, but the Lord is high in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. The thing about it is, you know, we do it beforehand. Heaven knows what's coming. Heaven, the angels know what's coming. The angels are already there. And the judgment is getting ready to fall. And we don't know why this is happening. I can't tell you why this is happening. But I'm just telling you what's in the book, amen. There's silence in heaven. And now there's service at the altar. Look at verse 2 through verse 5. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer that was given unto him with much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came into the with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censers and filled it with fire at the altar and cast it to the earth, and there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, this involves a preparation. Seven angels are pictured here standing before God, ready to do his work. Do you notice that? They're ready to do his work. I'm going to take a little pause right now. God's still looking for people that's ready to do his work. God's still looking for people that will stand up. God's still looking for people. You know, when he said, to whom shall I send? How many people actually stand up and say, Lord, send me? This is the biggest problem we have in church. Everybody wants to have the church to grow. Everybody wants the church to blossom, but nobody wants to do anything. So we need to be people that's prepared. We need to be people that want to go out and do what God would have us to do. Now, these seven angels are given seven trumpets. These seven trumpets are going to be used to bring the seven judgments upon the earth. Let me take a little sidetrack here. Trumpets were always used by the Israelites in many different ways. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 1 through 12, it tells us about two silver trumpets that were used to notify the people of Israel that certain events were about to concur. Now, a certain blast was used to assemble all the people. Another blast was used to assemble just the heads of the tribe. A certain sound was used to tell the people when it was time to break camp and move and march. And another blast or sound was used when it was time to make war. There was a certain sound that was made for each event. Now, why? This is why Paul said, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?" 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. So trumpets were very important in the nation of Israel. And these angels have these trumpets. These trumpets are getting ready to sound. The thing about it is, trumpets are important for the church. Amen. We know that, as we said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, trumpet's going to sound. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, trumpet's going to sound. So the trumpet is going to be a big part of our church, too. When the trumpet sounds, the church is raptured out. Amen. So when you see something about a trumpet, God's getting ready to get somebody's attention. Now, he takes the incense off the altar that's along with the prayers of smoke. The smoke and the incense of the prayers ascend up together. The prayers of the saints are kept by God. Now listen, how many of us has ever had our prayers heard? Think about what I'm getting ready to say now. We've had our prayers heard. God don't answer your prayers like you want him to all the time. It would be nice, Brother Robert, if every time we got on this altar, Jackie, it would be nice if every time we got on this altar and we asked God to do something, God just stood up right there and said, hey, they got a need. Dispatch angels right now, take care of that need right now, right now, right now, right now. Oh, we'd be happy, we'd be shouting, we'd be ecstatic. But it don't always happen that way. Your prayers are being kept by God. Because God don't answer our prayers like we want to all the time. It might not be in his timeline to answer your prayer. Sometimes you got to wait. Preacher Buddy C said something one time. He said, God always answers our prayers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's hold on. Amen. We don't mind the yes, and we don't mind the no. Most of us have a problem with that hold on part. We're very impatient. But God, according to what we just read here, God is keeping the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints are answered by God. God will answer our prayer. Amen. So, like I said, sometimes the prayer is yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's hold on. It ain't time. How many of us have prayed a prayer that it took God weeks or months or years to answer? Amen. We all have. Everybody in here has. So our prayers are being kept by God. Our prayers are going to be answered by God. Now, one of our most famous prayers that we all pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So why do we get mad when God don't answer your prayer like you want him to? We know God's keeping the prayers. We know God is going to answer the prayers. And it might not be in my time. It might not be like I want him to. But he's going to answer those prayers. But there's the prayers of the saints are kept by God. The prayers of the saints are answered by God. The prayers of the saints have power with God. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. Here, we know our prayers have been heard. We know our prayers have been preserved in heaven. We know our prayers are answered. Amen. We know if God's going to do that, if your prayer was answered one way or another, then why are we worried about the prayers that we're praying right now? If we know God's going to take care of it, and we know God's going to answer prayers, and we know we're right with God, and we know, Dale, we know there's nothing that's hindering our prayers from getting to heaven, why are we worried about the consequences of what we're praying about? According to this, God keeps the prayers. God's got the prayers. God did not hear Mike's prayer and just throw it to the side and say, he didn't disregard Dallas's prayer. Those prayers are being kept by God. The Bible says our tears are bottled up in heaven. Understand something. God knows exactly what your needs are. There's probably prayers that I prayed 10 years ago that God has not answered yet, and God still got that prayer. And let me tell you something. God don't need no computer. God ain't got a bunch of cards. He ain't pulling out folders and looking in it to find out what you need. He knows what you need. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Have you ever got down on your knees? Now listen, have you ever got down on your knees to pray, and it seemed like your prayer or your time in prayer was just insignificant? Anybody ever felt like that? I've said this before. I remember one time that I was praying in my bedroom, and it was just like the devil come to me and said, your prayers ain't getting no higher than this ceiling. And it's just like God spoke to me and said, that's all right. I'm in the room with you. Amen. But sometimes on this altar, we come down on this altar and we pray, and it seems like that it's just insignificant and it's not enough. But you got to understand something. Our prayers may seem insignificant over here, but understand something. When it gets to heaven, hey, it's already turned into something different. Because we got an advocate with the Father. The Spirit of God takes them and he offers them up to God, to Jesus, who takes them and then turns around and offers them up to God. And when he hears our prayers, they're a powerful thing in glory. This also involved a premonition. This is what's coming up. This is what's coming up. This is what's getting ready to happen at this altar. Did you notice that the fire, the same fire on the altar, Brother Jerry, that caused the incense and the prayers to go up, is the same fire that was cast down to the earth? Dr. Jerry Vine said this one time, judgment is merely the opposite side of rejected love. When you reject God's love, just like this world has done, and you reject God's Son, just like this world has done, and you reject the blood of Jesus, just like this world has done, the prayers that's been offered up, and the same fire that was offered up, hey, the same fire that put that hung him on that cross and paid for our sins so that you and I don't have to die and go to heaven, when you reject that same fire is going to be turned around and thrown back down. Men have rejected God's love. They've rejected God's grace. They've rejected God's Son. They've rejected God's mercy. They've rejected God's word. They've rejected God's church. They've rejected God's preachers. They've rejected God's teaching. They've rejected the singing. They've rejected everything. I mean, people just turning their back on the church. And we wonder how in the world this is going to be. That's why the wrath of God is going to be so destructive when it hits. This is what we're about to see. The judgments are getting ready to come. There's silence in heaven, there's service at the altar, then there's suffering on earth. Verse 6 tells us that the angel, they take their places and they're prepared to sound a trumpet. And as they do, we see about one of the horrors after another visited upon the earth. Verse 7, the trumpet of devastation. Look at what verse 7 says. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt and up, and all the green grass was burnt up. This is a trumpet of devastation. This brings fire mingled with blood. This may be a description of hail falling from the skies. We're not real sure what this is. Could be mingled with lava. Could be mingled with a volcanic eruptions. But the Bible says it's mingled with blood, and this could be symbolic. It could be real blood. It could be just droplets of something that looks red. That can happen from volcanic ash. But whatever this judgment is, it's the wrath of God, and it burns up one-third of all the trees on the earth, along with all the grass. Imagine the animals that's going to die when that happens. Verse 89, the trumpet of destruction. Look at verse 89. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. A third part of the sea is contaminated now. One third of all marine life dies. We can see why the seas might turn into what we call blood. A third part of the marine life died. And let me tell you, this could be a description of a meteor coming from outer space. We don't know. This could be a description. And let me interject this. This could be a description of nuclear weapons. We don't know. But we do know this. There's enough nuclear weapons on this earth right now to destroy the whole world and wipe out mankind. So we don't know what this is, but we know this is going to... the Bible says a third part of all the ships that's on the ocean at that time will be destroyed. So imagine not only the marine life, imagine the human life that's going to be destroyed at this time. The trumpet of destruction, verse 8 and 9. What's going to destroy the ships? Maybe a massive tidal wave. We don't know. And we know that if a massive tidal wave hits the ocean, it's going to kill people on land. And have you noticed something? Let me just say this. Have you noticed something about these verses? There's a whole lot to do with the blood. Just about every one of these verses talks about it looked like blood and this is turning to blood. I wonder if this might be God just letting people know you rejected the blood of my son. And now look what's happening. Verse 10 and 11, the trumpet of death. Look at verse 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called wormwood. That word wormwood there basically means bitterness. That's what that word means. And the third part of the waters became wormwood or bitter, and men died of the waters because they were made bitter. In other words, the waters are going to be made poisonous. And people will die from drinking the water. Now, we look at this as probably some kind of comet or an asteroid. We see that, and we see what's happening on one after another. Death, destruction. Verse 12, and a fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise, the trumpet of darkness. When the fourth sound, God just reaches over and turns off the sun. Now, with everything that we've already read so far, we know this could happen from a volcanic eruption. Everything that's going on Earth right now, when all that stuff gets into the atmosphere, that most people believe that this is what we call the ice age. When all this happens, things start to die. No food can be grown. Death. Famine. Judgment of God. Now look at verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Anytime you see a word three times back to back in the Bible, you need to take notice. To the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. This angel flies through heaven and basically calling out on earth, saying, listen, what you just saw ain't nothing. It's getting ready to get worse. Wow. You know, think about it. Even now, even at that point of the tribulation period, it's getting ready to get worse. Can you imagine all the death and all the destruction and everything? The world is falling apart around people. The civilizations are crumbling. I mean, mountains are being moved. The oceans are all the animals, all the what we would call apocalyptic things that's happening. And now you're sitting there, and now an angel comes by and says, hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. The Bible talks about how people's going to try to commit suicide. The Bible talks about how people's going to pray for the rocks to fall on them. They're going to beg for suicide. Imagine the depression We talk about PTSD, and we talk about depression, and we talk about people that's going through things now. Imagine what it's going to be like then. We all wonder, well, how can this happen, preacher? How can all this happen? Well, Ezekiel chapter 38 says this, verse 22 and 23. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Reject him and reject him and reject him. The Bible says that every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. Amen? They're going to know that he's God. They're going to know it. I believe at this point, and I'm not exactly sure about where in the seven-year tribulation we are at this point, but I believe at this point, all those people that, and we'll get into this in a few weeks, all the people that's taken the mark of the beast, all the people that has aligned themselves with Satan, and I'm just telling you, folks, there's going to be millions and millions and millions that will align themselves with Satan. There are people that's doing that today. They're aligning themselves with Satan. And they're saying, that's going to be the God that I serve. Oh, yeah, when this angel flies by and says, you ain't seen nothing yet, and they're going to say, hey, we made a mistake. We made a mistake. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said this, immediately after tribulation, of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. He is describing the very events in Matthew 24 that we're reading about right here in Revelation. And it will happen. Amen. The question is, are you going to be here? Hopefully not. Hopefully everybody in this church, and most everybody in here has listened to me preach the last several weeks on Revelation, and hopefully everybody in here is a Christian. You're right with God. You're ready with God. But if you're not, if there's any question, you don't have to leave this church. I'm just telling you, folks, if I had any question, any doubts whatsoever that heaven was going to be my home, I'd get on this altar tonight. I want you to bow your heads with me just a little bit.